This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Live and Learn with me, Dashran Johan. The sixth edition of the annual Refugee Festival Malaysia is starting this weekend on the 3rd to the 5th of December. And just like last year, in light of the pandemic, the festival will be held virtually. It will be held online. Now, what's interesting is that this year, for the first time, the festival will be directed by a refugee himself. So joining me on the show today, I'm very, very excited for this, is the director of the festival, Saleh Sipas. He's a refugee from Afghanistan. Welcome to the show, Saleh. How are you doing?
Thank you so much. Thanks for inviting and thanks for supporting the Refugee Festival. Actually, last week and this week, I'm very busy about the Refugee Festival and make plan and finalize the schedule, everything. So it's very excited to do the Refugee Festival.
All right. Before we talk about the Refugee Festival itself, Saleh, I want to talk about you and your personal journey. You are a refugee from Afghanistan. How old were you when you left your country and why did you leave your country?
Actually, when I was in my country in Afghanistan, I had a very, very nice job. Like I was also with media, with international media, 12 years. I worked with TV and radio and support the Afghan community and give the important information about the better life and how we can advocate the victims, community like women and children, about the education, about democracy, about the human rights, about something new value in Afghan community. But in 2016, I had a security problem with by Taliban because the Taliban wrote my name in blacklist. Mm-hmm. Then it was very serious. That's why I leave my country. In 2016, I leave my country and came to Malaysia. At that time, I was 35 years old.
Right. So why did you decide to come to Malaysia specifically?
Actually, you know, it's millions of refugees when they are not safe in their own country. Just they thinking, okay, the first goal, we should save their life. The country is not our goal. Which country we should go? So when I had the security problem, I am thinking about myself, about my family, about my children. So yeah, I try to find a way to save my life. And I really still didn't know why I came to Malaysia. Like as thousands of refugees, they went for example, Afghan refugees, they go to Iran, Pakistan, Turkish, European country, and many, many countries. They don't know. Just they try to save and secure their life.
And how many kids?
At the beginning, when I arrived to Malaysia, I didn't know about some details, like about the process of UNHCR, about the Malaysian culture, about the Malaysian country. I didn't know about the exactly details. So when I arrived, everything was new for me. And many challenge. I saw, I heard. really is every day the challenge pushed me. And I was really in bad situation on that time. But slowly, human have power and can fight with challenges. I also did other human. Now I'm fine. I'm okay.
Now, you know, you mentioned you have a family. How many kids do you have? Is your wife with you? And what are some of the challenges you and your family faced when you arrived in Malaysia?
Yeah, we have totally five members. Okay. Myself, my wife, and three children. My three children, they going to school. But during the pandemic, they study online. But the good things, I'm very happy. They last month, they started the physical class in Fuji School. My wife also, she was presenter in TV in Afghanistan and also worked with some NGO. Now she started her new job with Fuji School as a teacher. The big challenge for refugee is right, because refugees don't have access to basic rights like working, study. Like my children, every time they ask me that I want to go to that international school, the quality, the curriculum, that's very powerful school. I cannot send my children. This is number one. Other challenge is totally the future for refugees is dark. We cannot design any plan for our future. For example, if I design any plan in Malaysia, it's not possible for me because without right, it's difficult. And about the future also, we don't know when and how UNHCR resettlement the refugee to which country. So, I mean, for refugees, the big challenge is no plan for future, for life, and no right to work, no access to health issue and the basic things. So this is the general challenge for all refugees. My personal challenge is my language. I cannot speak Bahasa Melayu, and also my English is a little bit okay, not very good. So, and also is driving, movement, and something each every human need to do. But refugee have some limitation. The limitation is the big challenge for me and for all refugee.
How exactly did you and your family travel to Malaysia? What was that journey like?
Actually, the first time when I left my country, I went to New Delhi in India. For a few weeks, we was in New Delhi. After that, actually, my plan was I go back to Afghanistan, but the security problem growing up, it was more serious. Then I didn't go back, and I asked, "What is the next?" Then I came to Malaysia. It's very risky, actually. It's very risky because Malaysia don't private visa for all country. But some refugee, they come without visa sometime, but mostly they come with visa, like tourist visa or student visa, like that. Totally, this is very expensive for Afghan refugees. For each person is, I think it's $3,000-$5,000 USD. Coming is not easy because, for example, some refugee, they had security problem in their own country. They must leave, but they don't have any money. How? Or they cannot find any visa. How? So this is the problem for refugee. Totally is very, very challenging, very risky, and very difficult.
Yeah. Now, earlier you mentioned the Taliban and the security issues you faced. The U.S. recently left Afghanistan after more than 20 years. The Taliban has fully taken over. How are you feeling about all of this?
Actually, I'm very, very sad for Afghan people. You know, 20 years, the Afghan community, civil society, media, the government, some of the big part of government, they try to respect and follow the new value. Because the Afghan community really need the new value. But it was some corruption in the last government, and some people from the last government, they support the Taliban. This, it was some political game between some country like Iran, Pakistan, India, Russia, USA, Chinese, like that. And the bad thing, the Afghan people is suffered by this political game. And they lost the value, the future, everything. I'm very sad because when the Taliban, it was three, four months ago, they come back to Afghanistan and make role. 3 nights, I didn't rest, really. I didn't eat any enough food. Because my mind was really, really busy with Afghan people. Many people from Afghanistan contact me and they ask support. Thousands of people, they run away and go to airport. The airport also is no any enough flying, and the border of Pakistan and Iran, with children, with old men and women, and the cold weather, this is without food, without any water, this is really, really difficult. Some people told me in the Eastern Border border between Afghanistan and Pakistan, more than 20,000 people waiting on the border to cross the Pakistan, but it was not possible. Then they come back. So, yeah, the people lost the jobs, the house, any opportunity like education is very important for Afghan people. They lost everything. Now, the women, the children, the girls, they cannot go to school, they cannot working, they cannot go to university, they just stay at home. Many Afghan people, they don't sit at home as well. When they rest, they don't feel safe. So this is totally horrible situation in Afghanistan. And the Taliban, they didn't change. They didn't change. This is same version like 1996. And the ideology of Taliban is just killing and push the people and do the violence. And they don't know about the education, about the knowledge. They don't have any skill to make a powerful government and control everything. So now the big challenge in Afghanistan is the hunger. No food, no money, and it's winter as well. So I heard many suicide cases. I heard many cases about the family selling the children, like 1 year old children, 2 year old children. This is totally a horrible situation, and it's very sad. Actually, Afghanistan is my past. It was my country, but I lost my identity. I lost my working, everything. But still, I feel they are my people.
Right.
I'm connecting with my heart, with my mind, with my people. But when they annoying with by Taliban, or they don't have enough food, they don't feel secure. I really, really, it's very, very sad for me.
Now, switching gears to Malaysia. You've been here since 2016. It's 2021 now, so it's about 5 years or so. Since coming here, have you faced a lot of xenophobia, racism, rejection by Malaysians?
Actually, when I was in Afghanistan, I heard a lot of story and case about xenophobia in Iran and Pakistan with the Afghan refugee. But when I came to Malaysia, I didn't know about xenophobia in Malaysia. But slowly, when I understand the details, the gap between refugee community and local, then I understood, yes, it's xenophobia. And I really escaped from xenophobia. And so every time I respect the people, doesn't matter if it's black or white, or Muslim, non-Muslim, it's Malaysian or international, just respect the people, show my respect to the people just for fighting the xenophobia. I think xenophobia is really, really bad things, because make space and a gap between people, and people hate from each other, and they lost the opportunity, they cannot work together, they scared from each other, they cannot trust each other. For me, now in Malaysia, I'm a part of Malaysian society, because I'm here, and I breathe every day. I'm here, and I'm working something for people. So sometimes the xenophobia is stop the people.
Mm-hmm.
If they stop, I mean, yeah, it's really worse and really bad. It was the last year, the beginning of the pandemic, I heard many warning, many cases about the xenophobia with the refugee. But the NGO trying to make a united between refugee and local people. But still, it's not enough. We must work a lot of things about the xenophobia. We should try to like stop the xenophobia. Mm-hmm. If the xenophobia growing up, is I think this is very, very bad for, especially for refugee community.
Let's go for a quick break. On the show with me today is Saleh Sepas. He's the director of the 6th edition of the Refugee Festival. After the break, I'll be asking him all about the upcoming Refugee Festival that he's directing and what we can expect from it. We'll be back with more on Live and Learn, BFM 89.9. Welcome back to Live and Learn. I'm Dashran Johan, and on the show with me today is Saleh Sepas, the director of the 6th edition of the Refugee Festival. So, Saleh, before the break, we spoke about your personal journey. Now let's talk about the Refugee Festival itself, which is going to be held online from the 3rd to the 5th of December. How did you get involved in the Refugee Festival?
The Refugee Festival, actually, for me, is the meaning of Refugee Festival is the opportunity for both sides, for host community and local community. They understand each other. They show the talents, the arts, skills, and knowledge, and then they cooperate with each other, and they make new opportunity for future. This is my experience, what I did in the last years. Mm-hmm. The first time I joined in Refugee Festival, it was in 2017. I was just a part of Refugee Festival. I had a performance, theater performance.
Okay.
I didn't know about the Refugee Festival. It's many people from different community and country, they joined to Refugee. That was very nice for me. It's very beautiful. Then I did my performance. Many people say to me, congratulations. And then every year, Mahi invite me and I joined to festival. It was very good. Like, we did the performance, make new opportunity. We find the new friends, mm-hmm. New things. Then last year, Mahi suggested me as like for me, refugee director. I said, okay, we can do slowly. We give opportunity to refugee as well, because it's maybe some people thinking this is the refugee festival. Why the director is local?
Mm.
And okay, gave the opportunity for the refugee as well. Then I said, okay, we can do. But the bad things is the pandemic happened and we postponed last year, and finally we did the online this year also. Our plan was physical festival. We spoke with Rex Kale. They gave a space for us. We had a very huge and very amazing and very very nice plan to do the refugee festival, but it still is a lockdown. So this year also is online. But the goal of Refugee Festival for me is the fighting with xenophobia.
Hmm.
The refugee can come out from isolation. They can talk. Normally, refugee don't have audiences. But Refugee Festival is an opportunity that refugee can find audience. Many people can watch their talents and art, and also we connect the refugee community and other community with art. I believe the power of art is very, very, very amazing. If you have political problem, if you have like ideological problem, if you have religion problem, but if we do something with art, we can solve our challenge. So the Refugee Festival is like to way to solve refugee challenges and show the talents, and refugee can believe themselves and they find some self-confidence and motivation, and they, the meaning like, we are not stopped. We can do something like Refugee Festival. And I mean, the art is very important. Like if I do something in Refugee Festival by my art, the local community also knows. So this is very nice and solve the challenge and gap everything.
Hmm. Now, what will this year's Refugee Festival focus on? And for those who may have no idea what exactly they can see during the festival, what the festival will have, what can we expect from the festival this year? Who will be performing? Is it all performances? Are there art exhibitions? What can we expect during these 3 days?
During these 3 days, so we have many things like poetry. We have poetry from seven countries, Sri Lanka, Afghanistan, Pakistan, Myanmar, Syria, many countries. And also we have a theater, Parasto Theater will do the performance about the domestic violence during the pandemic. And also we had the short film. And also we had animation, short animation. And also we will have panels, many panels. And also we have Never Far From Home. This is a title of a part of refugee festival program. That means the refugee introduce their culture and art by presentation. For example, my favorite song, this is like a traditional song from Afghanistan. This is really popular. Then I play the song and present about that traditional song. Like some refugee, they present about one popular photo, one famous photo,
correct,
or one short film. I mean, yeah, it's a. I mean, the meaning of this part, Never Far From Home, is refugee is still they thinking about their own country and they cannot forget, and they introduce the culture and art for local audience and other people, because this type of art is really, really beautiful, and no border. And if this is new part, but I really love it, this part. So this is all what we do in Refugee Festival.
Will you be performing as well this year?
Yeah, we have actually during the pandemic, it's very difficult, physical performance. Then we're thinking what we can do. After that, Parasto recorded the theater show. We recorded. When we have some time like performance, we play the record on Zoom or Google Meet. Then we discuss and show the play. This year in Refugee Festival also, we have a short show, Overcoming in Crisis Time, like that, the title. that is about the domestic violence during the pandemic. And the people lost their job, they lost the money, they cannot go outside. And we heard many domestic violence case. So one part of the Refugee Festival is theater, yeah, we will do. But the important point for me is a discussion about the domestic violence. We need to find some peaceful and powerful solution. And then the next step, we give the solution back to the community. If they follow the solution about the domestic violence, I think the level of domestic violence comes down.
Like you mentioned earlier, the Refugee Festival, this year is the sixth one. The past five was directed by a Malaysian who has been heavily involved in refugee advocacy work and so on and so forth. She works very closely with the refugees. But this year, it's even more exciting because you will be directing it. It's a refugee festival directed by a refugee. How are you feeling about that, and why is that important?
I'm very excited. I feel very good because this is a good start for next year and for future. Like the refugee also can trust themselves and they believe themselves and give a good message like, okay, about the self-confidence. Maybe next year we can find the other refugee festival director. So I think that's good. I mean, this is the start. Like 4 years, 5 years, Mahi was the director of festival. This year, it's first year I'm the director. I feel very good and very happy and excited as well. And I'm trying to do my best because this is my responsibility. And the good thing is maybe next year we can find some other refugee as a refugee festival director. So she or he also trying to do the best. And this is nice. And some challenge also because online is not possible, like what we want to do, some limitation. And the festival is physical is more powerful, but it's still we want to do. And I'm very, very happy, very happy. And I hope we will have a good festival 3, 4, and 5 of December this year.
I think it's going to be really, really great. What are you hoping Malaysians take away or learn from this festival?
The image about the refugee by host community is not very positive. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're thinking refugee don't have any enough skills, knowledge, and experience. They're thinking, many people thinking, okay, refugee, they just in need. They need money, they ask support. But the other side of refugee is knowledge, is skill and arts. So we try to show this side, this face of refugee as well. Then I think the refugee festival can change the image of refugee for many people. Like many people thinking refugee, they are oppressed, they are a victim, they cannot do amazing job, they cannot do anything. But we try to show, yeah, we also have a skill, because all refugee, they, so like from my country, they, I know many doctors, many engineers, many people that in with high knowledge, now they are in Malaysia. But they're working like a cleaners, like a handyman. this is the situation. But refugees also have knowledge, because all of us human, and human without art, knowledge, and skills is not human. And we try to show our skill and knowledge that the impact of these things is make united, change the image. It's like change.
How can people support or watch this festival?
Actually, Refugee Festival want and need many type of support. Like the people can attend and watch the performance, the part of the festival, or they can post something in social media about the festival. This is very important. And also, like media, like BFM Radio and you support the Refugee Festival. This is really amazing and very, very good. Thank you so much. And other supporting, like financial support, or they can come and give space, or like as a volunteer working with Refugee Festival. So it's many things the Malaysian friends and community can work with the Refugee Festival.
So just two follow-up questions to that then. You say people can watch. How do people watch it? Let's say if I'm interested, where do I go to watch it?
It's a good question. Thank you. So Refugee Festival have a Facebook page.
Okay.
We will have a live broadcast on Facebook, the Refugee Festival page. Mm-hmm. And also we will send to friends, to NGO, and some people that are interested, the Zoom link. Mm-hmm. So it's two options, Zoom link and Refugee Festival Facebook page.
Okay. And if people want to give monetary support or anything, who do they reach out to?
This year, the Refugee Festival supported by a Malaysian friend. Mm-hmm. He's very young. He's very interested. And he really interested about the refugee arts and skill. So he supported. But this is not like before a huge amount. Because for online, we don't need a huge amount, big amount. But thank you so much. From Malaysian friend, they really, many friends, they send a message like, invite the people to join the Refugee Festival. And many Malaysian friends, they are interested about the Refugee Festival.
Certainly. So if any of y'all would like to check out Refugee Festival's Facebook page, you go to facebook.com facebook.com/therefugeefestmy. That's facebook.com/therefugeefestmy. Or you can just type it in the search bar at The Refugee Fest My. So you can get all your information there and like watch the festival there as well. On that note, as we wrap this conversation up, Saleh, would you have a final message to the listeners?
Thank you so much for inviting me to this interview. And thanks a lot for a Malaysian friend. They support the Refugee Festival. I'm very happy and excited. My message is about the solidarity and about the humanity message. All of us human, and we can make united with art, with culture. This is really, really amazing and very good if we know each other from art and culture. And enjoy, please, with the Refugee Festival. Next year, I hope we see you on the physical festival. And thank you so much.
Thank you so much for joining me today, Saleh. It was an honor to talk to you and really, really excited for the festival. I've been speaking with Saleh Sipas, director of the 6th edition of the Refugee Festival, happening on the 3rd to the 5th of December. It'll be happening virtually online. If you like to check out the festival, support them in any way, go to their Facebook page. It is facebook.com/therefugeefestmy. If you missed any part of the conversation, you can check us out on podcast. We are available on the BFM app, bfm.my, or pretty much wherever you get your podcasts from. I'm Dashran Johan, and this has been Live and Learn, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.